All right, everybody. Hello. How are you? Happy Monday. It is October the 4th, 2021. I'm Adam Grubb. That's Keith Stewart from ESPN Radio. And this is Stick and Hack Reacts. It is your weekly look into the PGA and LPGA. Reactions from two of the finest in golf, Keith and myself. I couldn't even get through that intro. I apologize, Keith. You know, maybe one of golf's finest in Keith Stewart. Keith, we had some tournaments this weekend. And number one reaction is the Sanderson Farms Classic Invitational Tournament Championship.
Yeah.
And our winner, Sam Burns, my man, my favorite golfer for some reason, Sam Burns. I love to see him do well. I thought he should have been on the Ryder Cup team, and everybody laughed at me. But I guess they didn't need him anyway, as it turns out. So he was would have been futile. Sam Burns, a winner, his second win this year on the tour. Keith, your reaction?
Well, you know, just to talk about that Ryder Cup thing, because it came up this weekend. I feel like we could have replaced Sam Burns with any of the 12 people that were on the team, and we still would have boat raced Europe. So, 100%. I mean, it's just an excess of riches we have and talent right now and young Americans. 25 years old, second win in back-to-back seasons, even though it's the same calendar year. So,
thumbs up or thumbs down?
Oh, thumbs up for Sam Burns. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for, you know.
No worries.
You know, I'm a bit distracted because a week ago you kept saying, you're like, I wonder what we'll do next week if we'll have anything to react to.
Right.
We've got a full slate of stuff today, and it just starts with Sam Burns.
It does. So we can also react to our fall hoodies, which is exciting. That was unplanned. The Stick and Hack hoodies now available at proshop.stickandhack.com. Keith, you give it a thumbs up. You give Sam Burns a thumbs up. Second win this year. Does he have more in the tank this year?
Oh, I don't think there's a doubt about that. I mean, just the way he ball strikes it. He hit 88% of his greens in regulation for the week, Adam. I mean, that's just an astronomically high number. Usually it's, you know, somewhere around the mid-70s for a good player for the week. He was 57th in putting this week, and he won. And he should have won by two, but he bogeyed the last hole, so he wins by one. I think what's interesting, you look at the start of the PGA Tour season right now. You have Max Homa as a winner, super ball striker. You have Sam Burns as a winner, super ball striker. To all the kids out there, boys and girls that are trying to get on the LPGA and PGA Tour, start to hit it solid. I mean, there's a theme that's developing here. We'll get to the shop right in a minute. But these people can flat out hit their golf ball. And I look at it, it's so exciting. And I know that there's only 52 weeks in the year and there's 87 weeks of PGA Tour events. I get it, Adam. I know it. There's a lot. But it was an exciting weekend. You look at some of these names that are coming up from the Korn Ferry Tour class, like Sahith Sagala, who was leading, you know, the first three rounds. Cam Young from the New York City area. Trey Mullinex, Hayden Buckley. All these guys are going to become household names. And we haven't even heard from all of those Ryder Cup guys or the names that we're accustomed to. I mean, it's totally an excess of riches. And I can't wait to see how competitive the PGA Tour gets in order to win. Sam Burns is just he's just a shining example of what it takes to play great golf and win.
Now, wasn't there – I mean, it was kind of a fun ending. There were some people that were leading, and then Sam came up. I mean, walk us through what happened the last five, six holes, because I was getting some Twitter – candidly was not watching it, but I was getting Twitter notifications from the PGA letting me know exactly what was happening, but I didn't see Sam Burns' name on there until he had won. So was there something specific that happened towards the end?
Well, I mean, he was in the second to last group, Adam, so he wasn't far from the lead, but a number of those younger guys that I just alluded to straight off the Korn Ferry aren't Sam Burns, and they didn't win back in May. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he kind of, I mean, he put a stripe show on the back nine, shot 33 with a bogey, and was just absolutely just ripping it off the tee. It was pretty funny to watch. Even the commentators, he did a tee shot, and they were just, you know, he was picking the tee up off the ground, and the commentators didn't know what to say. They're like, well, that's another perfect one right down the middle. Yeah. These par fours are 490, you know, 470. And he definitely put it all together. You know, I think guys like Sam Burns are exciting. I mean, this guy's he's ranked 25th in the world. He's won twice. He won $5 million last year. He played in 26 events. Half of them he finished the top 25. I mean, it's some pretty cool stuff, man. You know, there's a lot to get excited about. And then the tour moves out to Las Vegas, which, you know, viva Las Vegas. Here we go. Another week. And there'll be another great storyline for sure with another really athletic, fun, awesome golfing winner. It's going to be cool.
Let's move to the ShopRite Classic now. And Celine Boutier. Close?
Boutier. Yes.
Celine Boutier, your winner of the ShopRite Classic for the LPGA. Keith, your reaction to that, and give us the storyline behind Celine.
Well, I love the ShopRite Classic because it's in my home state here of New Jersey, right? It's been there a long time, you know, decades that it's been played down there at Seaview. I love the venue. It's right on the bay overlooking all of the casinos and everything down Atlantic City. It is kind of like an interesting setting. They had some great drone footage over the weekend. And I'm going to give Celine Boutier a big thumbs up for her. Kind of a meh for the LPGA. Only a 54-hole event. You know, I think that being in the New York City area, between Philly and New York, where they position this event, I think it should be 72 holes. They are going to spend 2 weeks in New Jersey. Boutier closed well, man. I mean, she shot 63 on the final day, 8 birdies, just fantastic golf. She goes out on the front nine, 6 under, and she passed the likes of Brooke Henderson, NB Park, Jin Young Ko. Jin Young Ko is the second-ranked golfer in the world. You know, I would have loved to have seen a little bit more out of the LPGA extending this event. One of the reasons why is that they came out and they did something Vanguard this week, NBC. They put an all-female production and commentary team together in order to call the event and give them an extra day and, you know, give them a little bit more limelight. It was a big deal. They did an amazing job. Kara Banks, Judy Rankin, Kay Cockerell, everybody, you know, I mean, I thought they called a great event. It was on the Golf Channel, you know, 1 to 4 p.m. But, you know, at the same time, I still think it should have been a 72-hole event, and I would have loved to have seen an extra day of golf because it is a fun golf course for those ladies to play. They do make a lot of birdies. It's windswept. It's challenging. And it's, you know, kind of all the things we loved about Whistling Straits you can get out of Seaview.
But now, Celine is a relatively newer name, but and a newer name to the win column. This is her second win, but she did best. And here's a question for you, and this is probably spotlighting my denseness here, but in the LPGA, is it similar to the PGA where some of the top 10 are not on every week, and you know, some of these, like for instance, the Sanderson Farms over the weekend, and someone like Sam Burns can win? Was this that type of tournament where Celine was because you said that she bested some of the other names there in the LPGA? Are the top 10, top 15 women in every event almost every week? And if you win an event, are you truly beating the best in the world?
Well, I mean, she beat Jin Young Ko. She's ranked number 2 in the world. Much like the men, though, they don't play every week, but the ladies have 5 weeks to go. So as they race towards their tour championship or the CME crown or whatever they call it.
They've not even moved into the new season, the 2022 season yet.
They haven't restarted their fiscal year like the PGA Tour.
So they're doing it the right way. They've got 5 weeks left in the 2021, and then they'll take a break, and then they'll come back in 2022 for a season like it should be. Yes?
Yes, correct. All right.
Well, then that might be a tournament I start to – and a league I start to follow closely, because that is the way it should be done.
Hey, I know you don't always follow the tour, but Adam, you got to look this week. It's the Cognizant Founders Cup, a big event, $3 million purse, largest purse of any event that's not a major in the LPGA. It's going to draw some big names. To go back to your question, I think everyone outside of the Korda sisters are playing, you know, so you won't have number one in the world, Nelly, but you're going to have a bunch of the top 10 there because it's a huge purse, and it's here up by New York City. Fantastic venue, new venue, longstanding event. It's going to be a very, very cool weekend for women's golf, and we'll see what happens.
All right, let's move on to reaction number 3, and that is Jim McKay, who was Phil's old-time caddy for many, many years, affectionately called Bones, and he has been on the microphone for golf coverage here over the last couple of years as he left the bag of Phil. He has found a new home, and he's back on the course in the caddy position as Justin Thomas's caddy. That is the plan. Your reaction to Bones off the mic, back on the bag for JT, what does that mean for golf?
Well, I mean, for golf, I think it's a thumbs down. And I think it's a thumbs down for NBC and the Golf Channel, and I think it's a big thumbs up for Jim McKay. Yeah. You know, a bag like that could earn him upwards of $1 million a year. So it just goes to show you, I mean, even if he's making $750, Adam, you know, it doesn't seem like he hesitated much when he was offered the opportunity to walk coming off like a huge Ryder Cup. And everybody loves Bones' insights. I mean, 25 years on the bag for Phil from 92 to 2017, you learn a lot. And it's very interesting to me that, you know, he would make this decision because he's beloved as a commentator, but he wants to get back, get those competitive juices flowing. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, he jumped like that.
Yeah. And I think that's his passion. You know, I think the broadcasting, he said, yeah, I'll do that. Cause I want to be on the course. I want to be involved. I can bring some insight in, but you know, it's not like Smoltz hitting the microphone. And then 5 years later in baseball, the Braves are like, hey, do you want to come back? I mean, that doesn't happen in other sports. It happened here in golf where someone's like, hey, you got an opportunity to do what you did for 20 years. That was awesome what you did on the mic. You stayed in the game. You stayed relevant. Now let's get back on the course. There was no question he was going to say yes. And it's Justin Thomas. You know, Sam Burns, somebody like that, maybe he doesn't say that. But Justin Thomas, absolutely, he says yes. That's a second career win for Jim, getting Phil and now Justin Thomas. I do think, though, it is a massive loss for broadcast and for the casual fans listening to golf. Hearing his insights were unbelievable. And I go back to Smoltz only because I love hearing him on the baseball broadcast talk and really dissect what's happening. And in some cases, same with Tony Romo. Be a prognosticator and almost say, hey, here's what's going to happen. I've lived it. I've been there. Here's what's going on. This is not a normal broadcaster. And I hope that they understand that let's get a caddy in here to really give us the behind the scenes moving forward, because that experiment of a caddy on the mic worked for me at least. And I hope that they find another one like him, which might be difficult unless you get Fluff, which I doubt that would would bring much excitement to the broadcast. But for Jim, I think it's a thumbs up. And I agree with you 100%, Keith, for golf and the casual fan and the broadcast and the coverage, it's a thumbs down because Jim was unbelievable. And we were on the precipice too, Keith, of getting him on the Stick and Hack show. And now that he's going to have a full-time job again as on the bag, I don't know if that's going to happen. But if it does, hopefully you'll listen to that program, because he might bring us some good insights.
You know, speaking of insights, for once you actually brought up a good one there. When you start to compare him to Tony Romo and the job that he does, you know, predicting the plays that are going to happen. I mean, one of the things, the trends you could see in media, if you've watched the Manning brothers and their side-by-side broadcast on Monday Night Football, people love that style of insights. Then, you know, you can follow it on Twitter, and it's really, really cool. And with him and John Wood as part of the NBC broadcast, both being former caddies, you know, they were really kind of letting you inside the ropes with some of their the different stories that they would tell and their appreciation of different shots and the lies and the situations and what would happen. And I love the trend of going that way in golf. And it's a shame that, you know, he's jumping back to JT's bag, which was, you know, $6.5 million in 2021. So if that's good, I don't know. Yeah. Top 10 player in the world, probably, you know, Ryder Cups, President's Cups. So, you know, good for Bones. And you know what? Let's shift gears for a second, Adam.
Sure.
Do you realize what the number one story in golf was last week on social media? It was your boy.
Yeah, it was
Brooks, your boy.
Brooks and Bryson, the hug heard around the world.
Oh, no. It was Bryson and the long drive contest.
The long drive contest.
Bryson and the long drive contest. Give me a thumbs up or thumbs down for Bryson in the world long drive contest.
I don't know. I mean, I got to give it a thumbs down. I mean,
come on.
The reason I give it a thumbs down, you know, I don't know. Maybe I don't care, Keith. Maybe I don't care enough to even put my thumb up in the air. Maybe that's where I'm at. I saw him. I think it was remarkable that he got as far as he did. But as far as it was kind of a side act and kind of a circus act. It would be like, I'm trying to think of a good analogy here. Maybe it's a pitcher, going into, you know, in the middle of a weekend break, the All-Star break, going into the fair and trying his luck at the speed pitch, at the fair.
Oh, come on. That's some tough love there. This guy's the 7th ranked golfer in the world.
Right.
And he just went against people in a totally specialized facet of golf that no one had ever tried to cross over before. And the guy came in the top 8. It's unbelievable. And hey, I'm not a big supporter of Bryson's personality, But the fact that he got 40,000 people to tune into a YouTube channel, I mean, this was like security camera footage. It was so bad, right? It wasn't even on the golf channel.
And sticking Hack Reacts bad.
Hey, speak of your own camera, all right? Come on. No, seriously. I mean, it's fantastic for golf. I mean, we have a young winner, right? We have a great winner down at the LPGA event with Celine, right? 63 closing. Sam Burns, second time winner this year, 25 years old. Awesome young player, right? You've got Bryson in the Long Drive Championship. You've got stories all over the golf landscape. I mean, well, you're worried about reacts?
You're mixing points here, Keith. I didn't say that it wasn't that has any effect on golf. The golf storylines and all that stuff is great. You asked me a specific question about Bryson, and I went, I don't even know what to say. And because I think weeks ago when I said that we were done talking about Bryson, that is yet to happen, record. Yeah. It is yet to happen. His reasons for doing that were his reasons. And I did see a couple clips, but your stats around the fact that you know the views of the YouTube channel is impressive in and of itself. So congrats to your research team back there in the background there of Stickin' Hack Reacts on the East. They did a bang up job. It was a good weekend for golf. We've got more stuff this weekend, and I look forward to that. Keith Stewart from ESPN Radio New York and host of the Pro Show. Find it where you find your podcasts. And I am Adam Grubb from Stick and Hack. The premiere of season 4 of Stick and Hack Show is tomorrow, and we have guest Mark O'Meara on the program, so make sure you check that out. Have a great day, everybody. And Keith, great to see you. Nice sweatshirt. You look fantastic.
Oh, geez.
You're
bringing a smile to my face. Much like a buffet with no line. It's lunchtime, everybody. Enjoy the grub.